You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Los Angeles, it's Monique Leray, and this is The Startup with Monique Leray. Thank you for coming back to this channel and seeing our show. Sundays is the top of the week for us entrepreneurs, so I like my show Sundays at 4. It gets kind of sets the tone that the weekend's over, even if I didn't have one. And we're thinking about business and we're keeping it going with the startup. So if you are an entrepreneur out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a nonstop thing. But would we ever want to stop? I mean, we love what we do, right, guys? And I want to just bring on two amazing guests today. You guys are going to love them, from two different businesses, you know, two different, completely different businesses and startup stories. But before I do that, I want to recap what's going on with the Pandemic Project documentary. We're still in edit. We're going strong on that. And what we're going to be doing is submitting the film to some film festivals. So we will keep you posted on that, where you can find us at some local film festivals and some hopefully worldwide film festivals. Tongue tied. I know that a lot of them are streaming online due to the pandemic. Hopefully with people getting vaccinated and things are starting to get better, that won't be the case everywhere. So I will keep you posted. And also, we are doing the international version of the Pandemic Project documentary called The Pandemic Film. And myself and Christopher John are traveling around the globe this year, to at least the first half of this year, to meet you and hear your coronavirus stories, your survival stories, essential worker stories, and startup stories, how you're managing to navigate this time as entrepreneurs. So that's what we're doing. If you want to be a part of that, if you know anyone in the Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal area, that's our next location. You can email us at capaquariusmedia@gmail.com. That's capaquariusmedia@gmail.com. I don't have the fireplace on today, guys. Spring forward today, and it's getting warm. So maybe it'll be back on. It gets a little cool at night. But without further ado, I have a friend on here who I've known, God, we've known each other since we were teenagers. We went to high school together. Christopher Moore from Moore.
Hey.
What's going on, my dear?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. It's good to see you. Thank you so much for making time.
Say again?
Yeah. Tell everybody who you are, and if they haven't heard of Moore Culinary Services, why don't you tell them what that is?
Well, I am Chef Chris Moore, all of 20-some years in the business now, of culinary arts. We are currently operating as Moore Culinary Services. We are a full-service caterer, and we do all types of events from film sets to weddings and corporate events and all of that good jazz. And we do all types of food, so don't be scared to ask. But yeah, that's us. We rocking and rolling right now.
I'm trying to remember in high school if you were the guy that was fixing our lunches, like, because the lunches sucked.
Oh, heck no. I thought I was going to be in the music business.
What'd you say?
I thought I was going to be in the music business.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Tell us about that, and then how you segued into the culinary arts.
So I don't know if you remember Randy Griffin. Yep. Me and him were, you know, that's my best bud. And we were just doing hip hop for days, and couldn't nobody tell us we wasn't going to be doing nothing else different. And that didn't work out. So... I did try to stay in the business a little bit by doing recording engineering and working in various studios and doing that, and then yeah, just kind of got bored of that because that wasn't where I wanted to be at. And I ended up we started seeing everybody come to our house for holidays and all that stuff. I'm like, why is nobody ever inviting us over for dinner or for any activities that required food?
Right.
So I'm sitting here, and my mother was sitting here, and we looking at each other. I'm like, this is crazy. So So one of her friends asked her if she could do a wedding for her daughter. Mm-hmm. And that was our first event that we did. And that all happened 20 some years ago out of a 2-bedroom apartment.
Well, you got to start somewhere. I mean,
you got to start somewhere.
Starting a garage or a kitchen or
right.
a car. I mean, right.
Yeah, and then from there, I just, we were doing pretty good with the catering. And then, you know, and around 2008, when the market and all that crashed, we started losing a lot of business. So I ended up going to culinary school. Ended up, because I already knew what I was going for and stuff. So we had a Kitchen Academy in Hollywood.
Nice.
And then from there, that's when I really started getting into the restaurant side of things. I'm a caterer though. I love catering. Like it's more action for me on the catering side of things. So yeah, and then from there we just it just blew up. It turned into my career.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds, because whenever we talk, you seem so passionate and excited about what you got next. You're like, all right, what are we doing? What do you got? And you're never not busy. And that's a really great sign for a chef, I would say.
Absolutely. I mean, you gotta be somewhere. It's absolutely a good thing. Cause it's not for the faint of heart. It is not an easy business to be in. Working in the kitchen 12 hours a day sometimes, 7 days a week sometimes. It's brutal, and it is not for the faint of heart.
Right. I mean, why? And then, you know, you look at these shows, and you know, I have a really good friend. Shout out to Chef Corey. She's currently on Hell's, you know, the top, what's the Hell's Kitchen? And all those shows seem really stressed out. But besides, like, a British guy yelling at you and you can't understand him half the time, why is it stressful? Like, why?
Why is it? Because the best way to describe it is just organized chaos. There's always something that you have to fix or something that you have to prepare for that you thought you were already prepared for. And it's just go, 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 until the last ticket.
Until the last ticket. Because, I mean, I guess, like, you have control. Like, if you have reservations, you know how many people you can see. Is it that maybe someone got an allergy or they dropped a plate of food or they don't like it? Is that the stress part? Or is it that you didn't know you were going to have so many people or the food didn't look right or just all those things?
All of those things. You have staff that end up going home sick or don't show up at all. Food that's coming back to the kitchen. You have servers dropping stuff. You have kitchen staff trying to put something on the plate and they might drop a steak that takes about 15 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes to cook. And just it's all of those things all the time. Right. It seems like it never fails.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine, like, you make this amazing plate and you put all your love and soul into it and then the waiter drops it.
Way too
often. That has to hurt.
Way too often, but you know, we get through and we just have to adjust. That's the chaos of it. That's the love.
Okay, so now let's talk to the new chefs out there or the aspiring culinary graduate kitchen, and they're really good at it and they want to step up their game, and maybe, you know, the pandemic has kind of messed up their opportunity. Their restaurant they were going to go work at is closed now, or only doing takeout or delivery. Yeah, what would you recommend for those people that are really wanting to get in there and start their career in the culinary field?
Be coachable for sure, for one. Respect your craft, because there's a lot of people that are getting into the business and saturating it, and they don't have the love and passion that they should have in order to make it to the higher levels of the kitchen or even the culinary arts field itself. And stay learning. Like, you always have to constantly stay learning, because one day they have sushi pizza and the next day something else crazy out of the blue, you know? And then find your niche. The one thing that has helped me be successful is I didn't settle on one type of cuisine. I made my style worldly, if you want to call it. And yeah. I do all types of food because I want to be able to feed everybody. And everybody's palate is not the same. So that's one of the things that I focus on as far as my career goes, is being able to supply everybody with what they want to eat.
That's a good piece of advice. Stay coachable. Even if you're at the top, stay coachable, because you'll always meet somebody that might have something to offer. Offer you a little golden ticket, a little golden nugget. Even if you've done it 20 years, you might meet somebody and they might have a little different spin on it.
Exactly.
One of your things, you did an event, shout out to all the gals over at the Beauty Lounge, but I think it's closed now, but you came over and did, it's for an event out here in Costa Mesa. And I'm still addicted to your salmon mousse. I don't know
Salmon mousse. That's your favorite. We always talk about salmon mousse.
Oh, my God. I have dreams about this dish. Like, it's the simplest thing, but it's on a cracker, and it's the salmon mousse. What was that? Tell me about that.
That's one of our signature dishes that everybody seems to love. It's a red tortilla. Like a mini tostada, if you will. And we put our signature mousse on there, and then we have a jicama slaw that goes on top.
Oh, my gosh.
With the little champagne vinaigrette.
Okay, so later this week, Chris, you're going to have to make a little batch, and then we're going to post it on Instagram so everyone can see it. Are you guys doing – so what's your service reach? Tell us what areas you're currently serving and what you're doing. Because I know we're approaching wedding season. So
yes, we are.
People
are starting to not be as afraid. We're still doing weddings, but they are on a smaller scale, 50 or less. The biggest one we've done was through this thing was about 100 people, which we do 200 and 300 people weddings. And that's kind of like a little rare for us to do the smaller ones. So, but it is getting around that time. So everybody's not afraid of having those weddings, and we're ramping up, we're adding staff because we're getting all of the calls and that good stuff. So we're ready.
Okay, good. Yes. If you're thinking about getting married and you want to be socially responsible and wear a mask and have a smaller gathering, more culinary services is available to get you guys fed. Right. That's good.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We've learned how to navigate through the COVID with as small as things as like adding sneeze guards to our buffets and literally keeping all of the dishes at the buffet and handing them out to staff, and gloves and masks and sanitizers and wipe downs and all of that good stuff. So we're keeping people safe.
Good. Sneeze guard's great. You got to have it. That's really, I'm glad you said that. Where can people find you? We're not leaving yet, but where can people find you on social, and what areas are you currently serving out here?
Social media is More Culinary Services across the board. Facebook, Instagram are our main sources of, you know, social media. And we cover most of Southern California, to be honest with you. We've done all of Temecula to San Diego, Riverside County, all of the Inland Empire, LA County as well. So we go everywhere. We are all over the place.
Dipping your toe here in the Laguna area as well.
Absolutely. Don't forget the OC, baby.
Pulling you over here. Yes. But, you know, I really like your style. You and your wife, Monique, his wife's name is also Monique. What a lovely name.
Yes,
and they're the best, like, husband and wife team. I think you guys really work really well together. Talk to us about how you make that work as a unit in business.
Very, very, very rare that most couples can work together. But we are friends. We were friends first. And, you know, everybody's all cliche. Oh, he's my best friend. I'm marrying my best friend. But I honestly did. People call us the couple's couple. And we understand what it takes to make the marriage work. the relationship to stay solid, you know? So it's easy for us. Not saying that we don't get each other's nerves, but it's pretty easy for us because we both shooting for the same goal.
And
that's what makes it important.
That's true. I think that you find out right away, though, if you're going to be able to work together. Like, I have such a high go, go, go frequency business, multiple stuff. I don't know that would work if I had a mate, but they would probably have to just have their own thing. But I think it is, like, specific to the genre of work as well, how that could work.
Yeah, be honest with you, she'd rather be doing something else. But she loves me so much that she's
pretty lovely,
huh?
I love it. Well, so you guys have been together for how long? How long have you been? You're in high school together.
We've been together. No, we didn't go to high school together. We've been together 18 years, and it'll be 16 years this year married.
God bless you. Wow. You need a star in the Walk of Fame. We got to start putting Walks of Fame stars for people who've been together for that long.
We're going to need we want to do a podcast for relationships, so I feel like we qualify.
Oh, please do it. We would love to hear it. We'd love to see it. I feel like there's a cookbook coming with you and her on the cover.
I'm looking at that. That's in the works, actually. We're looking at we're in the process of still planning out this year, next year, so those are in the top five things of conversation. So
beautiful. Well, you let me know when you're ready for the show. I'll be happy to produce your podcast.
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. So, give me your top five favorite things to cook with these days. Anything new, anything exciting, any new ideas for people out there that are quarantined up and burn out on their own recipes? Give us your top five favorites right now.
Top five. I'm loving the whole rush of the vegan thing. So I've been dabbling in just making sure vegetables are respected. So that's my thing. I'm not vegan. but that's it. I mean, mainly our vegetables and seafood, and just trying to keep everything fresh and traditional, but with a modern take on it. Just switch it up a little bit. That's my thing is simplicity. Like, you don't have to have all of these crazy freaky names and all of these crazy 10,000 ingredients in one dish. You can have five ingredients in one dish and it'll beat any dish that they've spent $20 putting together. You know what I mean? So just stay simplistic and just be, I ain't saying be humble, because humble is kind of a retreat for me, but just, respect the craft and respect what you're putting out.
Yeah, that's really good. And, especially I think a lot of people who are out of work right now and just trying to make it, like you said, keep the meal simplistic and nutritious. Are there any ingredients people could use that aren't as expensive right now that they could save money in getting and make their meals last or stretch a little longer that stands out in your mind?
The only thing that's really haven't changed very much is probably the tougher cuts of meat, which you cook low and slow and they still become beautiful things in the end product. But I think that's probably the most common thing. But I mean, even like at home, if you're, because people are shopping more and they're eating at home more. Try to preserve those things, like your vegetables. The one thing I actually have been doing is making herb oils, because I get so many, we get so many vegetables and stuff like that, and I don't want all the herbs to go bad, because we're a caterer and we might have a week off or so, and then I have all of these herbs and I don't want them to go to waste. So make herb oils.
What's that? Tell us how you do that.
So you just basically grab your favorite oil that doesn't have, long flavor, like a grapeseed oil or a canola oil or something like that. And you steep garlic in it. You can steep dill in it or basil and drain it out, put it in your pantry, and you can use it to cook other items with.
Nice. I'm going to do that soon. I've got some stuff I could do that with.
You should.
Forgot about the Oreos.
Delicious. You can make salad dressings out of them.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to try something new. Now, I want to know what you see for the rest of 2021 as we all are kind of hopefully moving forward and out of this thing. What do you foresee for the culinary world and businesses? I know a lot of mom and pops have had to go online and create an income stream there. So a lot of brick and mortars that did not have, you know, an online presence have now had to get in there and integrate and make that. So what do you see as any new trends or anything coming from this pandemic time? Or what do you see with the culinary business?
Not necessarily new trends. I mean, the new trend right now is a lot of people, they have this service. I don't know if I can mention names, but they have a service where they're allowing people to cook out of their homes. So people are starting businesses out of their houses, like where normally you couldn't do that. You couldn't cook and live where you cooked and serve food and sell food to people out in public. But they're doing that. That's kind of like the trend right now, and people are jumping on that. A lot of the mom and pop, like you said, they actually went online or either went under. And what I foresee as the trend right now is a lot of new businesses coming out because a lot of them didn't sustain the pandemic. So I see a lot of people who just realized, probably the same way I did, is being at home and seeing everybody love their food, they're starting businesses. So that's kind of what the culinary trend is right now. Everybody's cooking, and everybody has a cooking business or trying to start a cooking business right now.
You know what? You make a good point about the commercial kitchen, because as I'm, you know, still working on my coffee startup, I remember doing that conversation. I went to the city for a day permit for my coffee cart, and you have to have a commercial kitchen to brew your coffee, because I'm doing pre-blended coffee, and then, you know, you package it and all that. So
even the ghost kitchens, they have these ghost kitchens now where you're just really serving food and you're using the delivery platforms.
Yeah,
and you don't even have to have a dining room anymore. People are just buying food. And that's kind of been the trend for the last year or so, a couple of years or so. People are doing they call them cloud kitchen, or the company is Cloud Kitchens. And people are starting business. They might have two or three different concepts that they're selling out of their one kitchen.
Wow. So it's a pop-up ghost kitchen.
Basically. And you have all of these.
Ghost fried chicken and ghost fried kitchen.
Ghost fried kitchen. Exactly. Exactly. I think it's a cool concept, though, but
yeah,
everybody's trying to make a way because they realize, oh, shoot, we don't know.
But then, and my last question is, what about the food cart? What do you foresee for that situation? I see a lot of these restaurants delivering or setting up for people to pick up, like is like an outdoor pickup spot. What do you think about the food cart?
As far as the food vendors, I don't know. I think it's going to be the same. Once we open back up, everybody's going to go back to the same thing. That's the trend I've seen over the last 20 years. It's everybody goes back to the same thing once the trend is over. So, I mean, even with the food trucks and all of that kind of stuff, all of that stuff got saturated, and then people ended up back in restaurants, and then people ended up back in just doing, you know, the same old non-trendy stuff.
That's true. But I see a lot of really great things for more culinary services. You guys have the energy. You guys are collaborative. You guys come from a place of yes. You guys help charities. I want to say on air, shout out to you. You're one of our swag bag sponsors for Casa LA. They, because of your generosity and being a swag bag sponsor, and we gave them all out, they raised over $200,000 from that event.
That's wonderful. I love that.
So thank you so much for your, we've got some cool things coming up here in the next few weeks that we'll be announcing that more culinary services will be a part of. I'm tongue-tied today.
Love it. It's all good. It's Sunday. It's Monday.
Thank you for sharing your Sunday with us, and give your hashtags, your emails, your availability out for the listeners and viewers in case they want to book you.
Absolutely. We are available for most events, large events, small events. moreculinaryservices.com is the website. The phone number is 909-695-0900. Like I said earlier, Facebook, Instagram is More Culinary Services. Just reach out. We'd love to have a chat with you and see if we can service your area or service your event.
Love it, Chris. I'm so excited. Thank you for doing this on a Sunday.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to be waiting for that salmon situation.
I got you. We'll work it out. We'll work it out for sure.
I might
we got a lot of new things in the works, so it's going to be an exciting year.
Send it to me.
I got you covered. We'll work it out. I'll bring it to you. Don't worry.
All right, you guys, check out More Culinary Services for your upcoming spring and summer and fall and winter needs. He's
all
here
year
all year round.
And any venues that need a preferred caterer or in-house caterer, we are the one.
I love it. Detroit roots with an LA vibe.
Yes, right. Indeed. All right, darling.
I'll
thank you so much.
Thank say you. Again. I said I'll see you soon.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
You guys have a good one. Thanks for having us.
Hey, bye-bye. You're welcome. All right, you guys, that was Chris Moore from More Culinary Services. And we got another guest coming, but I want to plug everything else that we're doing. Shout out to our sponsors, Michael Solberg Family Wines, Leah Solberg, second generation of wines. And also, you know, they've got every varietal that you need, the basic ones anyway. And it's Rosé, Cabernet, Merlot, and Chardonnay. So go to michaelsolbergfamilywines.com and pick up your spring line. You guys are going to need it. You know, we're still riding this thing out at home, a lot of us. So make sure you are stocked up with your wine and you've got that covered. And if there are any startup businesses out there that want some exposure, I do have an event coming up next month for Oscars Week. And I have an opportunity to help you get some visibility and get your feet wet. So if you're a startup and you want some exposure, why don't you email me or you could DM me. If you're not already following me, please follow me on Instagram, Monique Loray, L-O-R-E, Stinson, or at The Startup with Monique Loray, or at Cap Aquarius Media. That's just C-A-P Aquarius Media. So Capricorn and Aquarius Media. And if you want to email me, you can email me too. CapAquariusMedia@gmail.com. And I will get right back to you. So let me know about your brand. If it's a soap or a candle or whatever you've got, we'd love to hear about it. And let's see, what else? We've got a lot of other things going. I want to also give a shout out to our other sponsor, La Casa del Camino. Thank you so much here in Laguna Beach. If you need a staycation, if you want to get away and just look at the views from Laguna Beach, you can see Catalina from their rooftop. They're known for the rooftop bar. They're known for their sangrias and their fresh air views. Check them out online. They're a historical landmark here in Laguna Beach and a really relaxing place to go. So if it's a work day and you want to bring your laptop and get away from it all, this is a really great place to come. Very peaceful. And if you've ever been to Laguna Beach, you're never really going to want to leave. And that's why I moved here. But La Casa del Camino is the spot. So check them out there. Tell them Monique sent you from The Startup with Monique LeRae. And I think I have another guest today. Let's see if we've got Amber. Amber, are you around?
I am. Hello.
Hello, Amber. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm actually calling you from my car. My son had his first basketball game, so I snuck out to come talk to you.
Nice. Well, congratulations to your son making it. And boy, do my viewers and listeners know about me doing my show from my car. All last year, I was half the time in my car, so they understand. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell everybody what your brand is?
Awesome. Well, thank you. Great platform. I own Facial Lounge in Corona Del Mar, California, which is right next door to Laguna Beach. I've been in business for 20 years. I started inside my parents' health club called Shape Up Fitness Center in Corona Del Mar, which is on PCH Avocado. They've been in business for 40 years. And I started, there was a chiropractor there, and I worked for a dermatologist named Dr. Bolton from Costa Mesa on 17th Street, which is now Dr. DeBro's office. And he was moving. I decided I want to do facials in Newport and for one of the chiropractor rooms, and it grew from there. So 20 years ago, and now we're literally on PCH and Poppy, right across the street from Five Crowns, and we have a beautiful location. We're right next door to the hydration room, and we do one thing, which is organic custom facials. So they're vegan also. They're organic custom vegan facials.
Wow. You know, Amber, I'm thinking that this is right on time for people because, you know, although you need to take care of your skin around, you know, all year round, right now and specifically with the pandemic and wearing masks and not really properly doing your regimen, you have a lot of buildup. I know I do. I know that I'm going to be seeing you soon, and I can tell our, my viewers and listeners just how great my skin's going to be after I see you. But are you finding that your customers are really having a problem with the buildup area around the masks? And
correct.
What have you been seeing out there?
There's actually a word for it. It's called maskne, and it's a real thing. So I find a couple of things. A lot of the disposable masks, not only are they horrible for the environment, but they're actually horrible for your skin. You have to spray them with some ingredients, so mold. They're also like anti-fire retardant, some other ingredients that are really harmful to our health, and they're really harsh on our skin. So I think the washable masks are much safer, much better. I love the copper infused mask and the silver infused mask, and they help. So there's a lot of companies out there doing really cool stuff with masks. No one likes to wear them, but if we're going to wear them, why not get the best, right? And it doesn't have to be expensive, and they still work. Right. Yes, maskne is a real, people aren't exfoliating. They're also not getting the vitamin D. There's like a lot of things that affects our health. And then you got to realize for a year, a lot of people haven't been touched at all.
Say that again. Sorry, we're having a little bit of I can't really hear you. Say it again for me.
I said, can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
I said for about a year, people haven't been touched. So that was another thing that was interesting for me. It's like, there's so many people are coming in and just the physical massage and that place to feel relaxed is needed more than ever. And it's
wow.
Massage places went out of business. So even though we're just facials, we do a face, neck, head, arm, and hand massage, circulation, and lymphatic drainage.
So. You know, you're hitting on a lot of points that I feel like I knew that I was thinking about that, but you're putting it to the forefront of and I'm glad, you know, that it is. I mean, we are animals. I mean, we are human, but we're mammals. We need that touch, and having services that you're used to, like I can tell you it's been now on the 16th, it'll be a year since I've had my nails done by a professional and my feet. And I remember going, right when it started, I'm going to go get one of those little nail drills before they sell out and a file and do them myself. And they look absolutely horrible. But, you know, I that's one of the things that I was doing every 2 weeks for myself. And for skincare, you know, it is. You're talking about vitamin D, which is something we get from the sun. And because we've been inside. If you're not supplementing with it, you guys have to supplement with it. You know, you're making really good sense. Tell us more about the copper masks and how that helps with your mineral base and your skin and all that.
Well, see, a lot of the masks, like I said, they have the chemicals on them. I'm trying to find some good masks. I have this brilliant idea. Epicurean makes this silver ion. I don't know if these are made for this, but I want some. I'm trying to find something. Let's just say that. But there's some materials out there that are amazing, very expensive, but I'm still looking for the perfect mask. And I make a joke, by the time I find it, we're going to be over this. But we're probably, it looks like we're going to be wearing masks for a long time. So carry a mask that I love. There's lots of them online that I find are great. But they're silver and ion masks, keep the bacteria off the skin, and they help your skin breathe. Another thing is colloidal silver. I don't know if you've ever heard of colloidal silver. It's silver infused. It's water infused with silver. It's fabulous. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
It's water infused with silver, but that keeps back up the skin. We sell colloidal silver that's locally made. That's just amazing. You can also get colloidal silver at a health food store, but you can mist that on your skin before you put on the mask. Also helps maskne. And we do sell products for maskne. So people call us or email us. I do skincare consultations all the time for free, usually on Tuesdays. And people have so many concerns, but people are even getting like dermatitis, rashes, I mean, weird stuff going on. And even acne. And the funnest thing is we sell a sulfur mask, but I tell people you can mask while you're wearing a mask. It's so awesome and no one will know it. So there's all these white masks, like especially I love zinc and sulfur. You can put those on your pimple, put your mask on, no one's going to know you're wearing it, and you can help clear up your skin while you're running around at Target or whatever you have to do. So,
that's smart. I like that idea.
I do it. I just got rid of one over here. And I
mask on. Right. You look gorgeous. You look great at a basketball game in the car. That's good. So tell everybody a little bit about your startup story, because this is the startup. We want to know, because you're successfully in the business for 20 years. And like you said, your offices are next to Dr. Dubrow. And everybody knows that name if they've seen their show. That's a very successful plastic surgeon. And he seems actually really cool. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him, but you're successful now for 20 years. So how did you start? What was your story there?
So really quick, I started where Dr. Dubrow's original office was, which is where Dr. Fulton was. He's passed away, by the way, but he's amazing. He wrote the book Acne RX. I joke, he never hired me. I never left. And that's a real story. I had acne. I was a client of his. He would do extractions on my face and I would go in. It was pretty torturous, to be honest with you. And I mean, this is so expensive. You're either going to get a new car or you're going to get facials. And I was so obsessed with them at 16 years old. And it took about a year for my skin to clear up. And he said, Amber, you should go to esthetician school to work for me. So that's exactly what I did. There was actually a year and a half waiting list at Golden West at the time. This is in the 90s. And I got on the waiting list. And I got in right when I turned 18 into esthetician school. So I was super excited about that. And I always knew I was going to do this. I used to watch QVC and HSM with my grandmother. My grandmother, she talked like this. She'd go, Bubala, I'm going to see you sell all your skincare cream. And I was going to do this. I mean, I used to make people for Christmas, what everyone used to get for Christmas was little handmade masks by me. And I think about what I used to give people. It was probably so moldy and horrible. But I used to make I didn't know anything. I ended up going to UCLA for cosmetic ingredient classes. And then I learned about ingredients, stability, and, you know, even mold and packaging. And I went, oh, my God, I was in my house. So I tell people I love to make skincare. I think it's fabulous, but it's really only good for a couple of days. So I tell people never make things. It can go bad really quickly. Think of it as like food. And skincare is food. I tell people facials are like the workout and skincare is the nutrition, the daily stuff. It's more important than a facial. So if someone had to pick a budget and they go out, should I get good skincare or a facial? Good skincare always. Facials are a bonus.
But I like that you put it that way, the workout and the supplement or the nutrition.
Yeah.
Great way to put it.
It's what people are doing from home when they're teaching. You know, COVID was a great thing for people to, as hard as it was, we almost lost our business. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do. I wasn't expecting to pay rent for that many months. We just had a huge lease and it was a beautiful location and we shut down. But what I did find, which was, I'm trying to find the beauty in it. The beauty in it was people took time to learn about skincare. They really did research. We've had so many amazing questions coming through. Our skincare sales went up, which is so exciting. People found us. We had more people post us than ever. I just found that it was like all that those 19 years at that time kind of circled back to me. And I became like an expert in so many ways that I always was in the business. I never stepped away. So answering so many questions and helping people was, I'm really like in my zone. Like I love where I'm at. So this has been a really fun thing. So I tell people in business, whatever you, what you love and money will follow. For me, it took 18 years, but that's okay. But I tell people, if you love whatever you're passionate about, you love what you do, you'll eventually get, especially when you can become that person for it. My kids like computers or little silly stuff. I said, you can be an expert in keyboards. My son loves keyboards. I said, you can be an expert no matter what you do, whatever it is. You can be an expert and just take time in that thing. So I tell people candles. I have a friend, you mentioned candles earlier, who's making candles. She's been amazing. I would love to have her on your show. They're called Never Alone Candles. They're homemade. What she does, what goes into these candles, amazing. And no one knows her story. We had them in our spa. We sell out every time we're there. So I, you know, I tell people sometimes that passion comes through in like an energy. It's like a different thing than advertisement or anything like that. So this is so cool that you're giving people platforms. I love when people are passionate about what they do. And this is the time I tell people 2020, you could have made your excuse to not get anything done, or it could be your excuse of why you kept getting up every day and giving 100%. You know, what else do we have?
I love it. So. I love that. That's an inspirational thing to say. And I really do love that you're pointing out that you've grown in your products. You know, like, yeah, you did it some way. Maybe you gave people some things that you didn't love so much, but that's the growing phase of it. And you only get better, and you can recognize right away when you've got a trash product or you've got some nasty ingredients that are going to hurt somebody or mess their skin up, because you've got that experience. So it's either you learn or you grow. I mean, you really don't lose, everybody. So if you start somewhere, you know.
I worked at Mother's Market in the early 90s too, and so Mother's which is really cool. And I got to natural science. It was my goal to like really learn. There's a book called Healthy Healing by Linda Page. And I made it a point to learn every single page in that book. And I thought I was a doctor. And when people came to Mothers, I also thought I was the host of Mothers. I still think I am. And when people came in, I would go help them and say, okay, you have gout. We've got to avoid these foods and make sure you do this, not do this. And so I really loved to find, there was a whole list of doctors in the 90s. You know, there's one, Dr. Kinney, who is very successful now. She has a center for new medicine. I've known her since the 90s. But I love that I found that people, I love that the internet, you can look for anything that, you know, that's wrong for you. And you can, I tell people, always go to a doctor and get diagnosed. Find out, but so much skin issues are from gut health, and so that's what I learned. Yes. And that Mothers, all the skin care was natural, but it wasn't studied. And then I, Dr. Fulton, he had this amazing acne line, but it was benzoyl peroxide and retin-A and all these harsh ingredients. I thought we can get those products into Mothers, and that's when I found out about animal testing and harsh ingredients. And I went, oh my God, this medical side is dirty. So I got to see the ugly side of the medical side, and the natural side wasn't really, you could take mud from the ground and say it's natural. It doesn't mean it works, right? So that find herbs that work, integrative. You know, our skincare is very, very clean. There's a million things we avoid on purpose, and there's a lot of things that are very active and they really work. So it's kind of an art, but integrative is, I don't think that 100% natural would be amazing for your skin or something super chemical either. So and we have
there's a balance. And I like that you're going in being vegan about things and respecting the earth and the body. And like you said, our skin is the largest organ. A lot of people forget that. So eventually it gets into your bloodstream, even if it starts off in your face or your hands. But you know, the balance of sometimes you're going to need a little chemical to balance something, and you're going to need a little natural to come in and keep it smooth. So I'm with that. You said a term I haven't heard since I was 27, and that was retin-A. Oh my God, I used to slack that stuff on and feel the burn, and
it was so hard.
You have the birth control and the retin-A, and you've got all that going on.
It's hard. And so, like you said, our skin is the largest organ. Our skin also will tell us something that's wrong. So I tell people, listen, you know, the lower part of the face is uterus, shaped like this is uterus. So sometimes when we're breaking up, it's uterus, our period's coming, our uterus is getting out. Our heels get a little more dry, which is shaped like a U too. So our bodies are really connected in just bizarre ways. So certain times of the month, we usually break out right here in that U, and that's uterus. That means our hormones, a lot of lower chin stuff, all on our neck is food allergies. So a lot of the times, I think, I don't know if you remember, but they used to think chocolate caused acne. Those people who are allergic to chocolate can actually be out here. So anything that you're mildly allergic to out in your skin, it's usually on your neck and as far as acne. Hair products cause a lot of breakouts on the hairline. And sometimes even women get, this is an interesting one, women can get little breakouts right in between their eyebrows, and that's your intuition. And I find it's very bizarre. And I over and over and over again. But you'll be journaling and letting things go, actually take away that cluster in between our, it's almost like your third eye. I know it sounds silly, but I see it so much when people are holding things on, and really, there's emotional stuff that comes out in our skin. Physical, there's a lot of things, even rashes. A lot of rashes. It's usually a food allergy. And the five ingredients that I'm almost allergic to across the board are gluten and wheat, eggs, dairy. I'm forgetting something. Eggs, dairy, gluten, wheat.
And I forgot. Parabens. Oh, well, there's sugar, right? Yeah. Sugar, yeah. But wow. That's some good information. I'm going to have to get my notepad next time, and I'm going to see you soon. So you guys, you're going to get a before picture. I'm going to be bold and take a picture of my skin with no makeup on and after she does it and lets, you know, my skin. So you guys can see the difference, and you'll tell me the amount of time to take the after picture, and then you'll see the difference. But I'm going to tell you guys, I've had a facial in over a year, and it's not cute under this makeup. So thank you for being here, Amber. And please give everybody your social media, email, and plugs where they can find you, and the address or whatever information you want to give to our viewers and listeners.
So we're now on PCC Poppy. So our address is 380 East Coast Highway in Corona Del Mar. Our Instagram is @FacialLounge. That's @FacialLounge. There's another company that's @FacialLounge. That's not us. So we're @FacialLounge. And our website is facialounge.com. Free to call. We're open 7 days. We have there's 8 estheticians. We're all amazing. And Facial Lounge has been vegan since day one. So we're one of the first care companies. So it's pretty cool.
Say the website one more time. It looks like you cut out just a little bit in case they didn't hear you.
It's facialounge.com.
Beautiful. So leave the off, and you want facialounge.com. And Amber, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time on this Sunday to start up with us.
Yes, I love it. And I'm going to be sending, I have a lot of people. This is such a great platform. Thank you for doing you're doing. So many, especially women businesses that are.
Sure.
This is just so cool. I love this.
It's a pleasure. I love startup businesses since I was a kid, and you know, it doesn't stop. We only just keep going and keep pushing forward and helping support each other.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a whole new business after COVID. You know, like I said, I've been in business for all this time, but I redid everything. I mean, we started almost like new again. So I think a lot of companies that have been in business a long time, you have to reinvent yourself. So it's almost like every startup company.
I have a feeling we're going to all be coming into a new skin, if you will, with the pun intended with you. All right. Thank you so much for being here, Amber. And you guys, make sure you check out Amber at facialounge.com. And you can find her on Instagram as well, I believe, and all the social media outlets. But I'm going to tag her in our Instagram post a little bit later. And so thank you for starting your week with us again. And I want to make sure you guys are following me on Instagram, because we're posting a lot of cool things coming up. So at the Startup with Monique LaRae, at Monique LaRae Stinson, at Capricorius Media. And you can see the events, the brand placement opportunities. And if you are a startup business and you want to get into the Oscars Week swag bag, we're still doing that next month. It's a great, great place to dip your toe. If you're a startup and gain some exposure and figure it out from there, you know, just one foot in front of the other, and just, you know, be good to each other out there. I know we're kind of all we've got the cabin fever, we're stir crazy. I want to share with you that we have been traveling, and we're working on this documentary, and we're working on the international version. And like I said at the top of the show, if you didn't catch that, if you have any COVID-19 stories, survivor stories, essential worker stories, startup business stories. Those are the things that we're featuring in the film. And we're just highlighting business owners in this. So we're leaving the politics to the politicians, and we want to hear from real people. So email us at capaquariusmedia@gmail.com. That's Capricorn and Aquarius, cap, C-A-P, aquariusmedia@gmail.com. And we'll get back to you. The next cities we're doing on the 22nd is Vancouver, Montreal, and Toronto. All right. I ask you this every Sunday. What will you start up today? Be good, be well, and we'll see you next weekend.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique LaRae, only on LA Talk Radio.